And I would like to ask you to please sign and pass the friendship pads through each pew that you might welcome one another by name at the conclusion of worship this evening. And now as we prepare for the reading of the Christmas story, will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Loving God, if we come this night distracted, depleted, or diminished, gather us now into the warm darkness where life begins. If we come hopeful, expectant, excited, by your Spirit, speak to us now that we may treasure your word, ponder your gift, and find the light shining in the window tonight. Amen. Let us now hear the story of the birth of Jesus as recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Listen now for God's word to you. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For many of us, placing candles in the windows of our homes or churches is a cherished Christmas tradition. Hearkening back to times past when homes were often miles apart, the sight of a candle in a window from a distance was a sign of friendship and welcome to those wishing to visit. Candles were also placed in the window of families keeping vigil while someone was away, or to signify good news. In places where people have been persecuted for their faith, a candle in the window may be a sign of a safe house or solidarity. The light in the window evokes the warmth of family, and our longing for home and hearth, for peace on earth, for all to be well, for us, for those we love, and for those whom nobody loves. However, in this Christmas story, as narrated in the Gospel of Luke, there is no light in the window for Mary and Joseph. They do not travel with anticipation that they will arrive to a familiar homespun Christmas. In fact, they are headed to that which is uncomfortable and utterly new. They are moving further and further away from home as they make the journey to Bethlehem. It must have been a rude awakening when the edict of Emperor Augustus came down and they learned they would have to travel at a most inconvenient time. They were young, they were poor, and so lacking in influence that when they knocked on the innkeeper's door in the town of Joseph's birth, there was no place for them, no bed to be found, no light in the window. Another jarring dislocation to this couple who had already surrendered a good portion of their hopes and dreams when to each of them had appeared an angel. When it was announced that Mary was with child, and this child was from God, and this pregnancy was a part of God's plan for the salvation of the world, somehow they believed it and found within themselves the courage to surrender to this unexpected, unplanned, messy, complicated, and drawn outside the lines turn of events. And now this. It was no time for a journey of several days, not this close to Mary's due date. Wouldn't you think that the way might be opened just a tad bit more smoothly for the Son of God? Wouldn't you think that there'd be some kind of census exemption clause for the soon-to-be parents of this exceptional child? Wouldn't you suppose that some heavenly strings would be pulled to find them a safe and comfortable place after all? Apparently, even when you are at the center of God's unfolding plan, still you are vulnerable and subject to the decisions and actions of others in this world. You can be displaced by decree of the emperor. You can be dislocated by the decisions of innkeepers. You can be subject to the forces of nature, where anything can happen as you seek a sense of home. As for the shepherds, it began as another ordinary night as they shivered under a moonlit sky, all senses alert to the possibility of predators or thieves. Perhaps they warmed their hands by a roaring fire or entertained one another with stories or songs, while the familiar soundtrack of sheep bleating in the background lulled them to sleep. What began as a routine night with their flocks in the fields ended with their displacement, as a sudden disturbance appeared in the night sky. There's a light in the very window of heaven which reveals a heavenly host. Angels singing glory to God and announcing a birth which signals the beginning of the end. For the dark night of fear, hostility, violence, and greed that so grip the world. The beginning of the end for the forces that would separate people from the love of their God. Now the shepherds don't get to stay with their flocks and fields. Instead, they are compelled by this astonishing announcement to leave this familiar territory in search of the child of whom the angels sing. Does it surprise anyone that all of this dislocation does not seem to destabilize them? Even as Mary gives birth in a stable, surrounded by cattle and donkeys filling the air with their scents and sounds, even though there's nothing more than some simple bands of cloth to wrap around her newborn son as she lays him in the feeding trough, even though, as they seek rest after the birth in the dim light of the stable, they receive the shepherds as if they are old friends and not strangers, and listen intently as the shepherds regale them with the tale of the angels who announced the birth of a Savior. Nothing is the same as it was, and they are, every one of them, at home. because the Christ child is the light that shines in the window for all of them. For all, in our dislocations, a light shines in the window this holy night to let us know that God is right here with us, loving us and leading us and all of creation toward the promised peace. Right here with us as we journey toward beauty and wonder, while also holding our losses and disappointments. Right here with us as we celebrate with our families, keenly aware of both the gifts and the brokenness of kin. Right here with us in the excitement of our children, who practically vibrate with it, while we also carry in our hearts worries about paying the bills or frustration when life doesn't turn out the way we thought it should. Right here with us in our merriment that may come with a seasonal dose of fatigue, even depression. Right here in our sickness and health, right here in our poverty and wealth, right here in the safety of our homes, as we also consider those displaced by disaster or separated from loved ones at the border, or those feeling the pain of a partial shutdown by government decree. In our dislocation, a light shines that we may find our heart's true home in Christ. It was December 2nd of 1993, although it could have been yesterday in almost any community in our country, when in Billings, Montana, someone twisted by hate threw a brick through a window of the home of a Jewish family. This family, like others of their faith, would celebrate the festival season of Hanukkah with the light of a menorah in the window. When this happened, some of the residents of the community wanted to say to their neighbors, "We're with you. We love you. You are not alone in this." And so they began to put lights in all of their windows. One by one, menorahs began to appear in the windows all over the community, in the windows of people of many religious faiths. And the lights in the windows gave everyone hope and offered a witness to the God who was determined to overcome evil with good. This Christmas, amid all that could cause us to feel displaced, I wonder what might happen if we also put lights in our windows as evidence that we are being supported in our journey through this life, even in ways we never would have guessed nor chosen for ourselves. Lights in the window for the grace that underlies the content and contours of our lives this Christmas. Lights in the window for the well-timed words of encouragement or answers to prayer. Lights in the window for the person who stood beside us, who stuck up for us when we were lost or afraid. Lights in the window when we found courage we never knew we had, or passion to make a difference in someone else's dislocation. Lights in the window when we were able to be still and know the peace of God holding us. Lights in the window that astonish us and draw us ever more deeply into the mystery of a God whose love is so expansive that it would leave its place in the heavenly realm and come down, that we might have life. This is the testimony of Scripture and the experience of those who have known both dislocation and home, that this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. After the dislocation of her spouse's death, artist and author Jan Richardson wrote this about how the light comes. "I cannot tell you how the light comes. What I know is that it is more ancient than imagining, that it travels across an astounding expanse to reach us, that it loves searching out what is hidden, what is lost, what is forgotten, or in peril, or in pain. That it has a fondness for the body, for finding its way toward flesh, for tracing the edges of form, for shining forth through the eye, the hand, the heart. I cannot tell you how the light comes, but that it does, that it will, that it works its way into the deepest dark that enfolds you, though it may seem long ages in coming, or arrive in a shape you did not foresee. And so may we this day turn ourselves toward it. May we lift our faces to let it find us. May we bend our bodies to follow the arc it makes. May we open, and open more, and open still to the blessed light that comes. Friends, with the Christ child as the light in the window, nothing is the same as it was, and we are, every one of us, at home. Thanks be to God. Amen.